Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
When is the nomination? And the Strait of Hormuz is both open and closed, depending on who you ask. The Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, record highs. Where do we start? This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Joe Kraus, Chief Economic Strategist at Annex. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's good to be here.
And CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. What a rally we had. We were just about in the correction area, down 10%, and it made it all up in 11 trading days. Brian, that's the best recovery in 35 years.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible, and I think it shows why it is that you don't want to overreact to geopolitical announcements. And we've had a couple of those reminders over the last 2 years. Remember Liberation Day? That was just last year. We almost got to 20% down, and then there was that rip-roaring rally off of that. Similar thing this year, but a little bit lighter in terms of almost that 10% correction and a very, very rapid recovery, where it seems like the only areas that really kind of declined, like energy, because oil prices dropped dramatically.
And it's worth noting, though, that even though we had this great rally, barely 60% of those S&P 500 stocks are above their moving average. So yeah, that means there's probably room to grow yet.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we always like to look at. Obviously, we want to focus on the fundamentals. You know, what's the outlook for earnings? And then what's the price that we are likely paying for those fundamentals? We also have to respect what are sometimes referred to as the technicals. It really gives a good feel for where is it that maybe other investors have entered or exited positions. And so moving averages, they can be useful in their own place when you combine it with these other things like the fundamentals and the valuations. But the fact that a lot of stocks, they're not at their all-time highs, they're not above certain moving average levels, it does suggest to us that there are a lot of people who have been maybe either sitting out of the rally of the markets for the last couple of years, possibly, and maybe this is going to draw some of those people in.
So it's unfortunate that they missed the rally. We often talk about some of the best recovery happens in just a couple of trading days, which is the reason why you shouldn't try to time the market. But the flip side is maybe that does bring them back in for better or for worse, right? The other thing that you wanted to talk about, you talked about fundamentals, valuations, and trading. These are the things that we talk about a lot. But the more important piece is where are earnings in general going right as the beginning of earnings season? So far, so good.
That's right. We've had a lot of the larger banks report their earnings. There's the early ones to report, and it's been better than expected. Now, the initial reaction with their stocks was sometimes down because especially some of the big, what we would call money center banks or the Wall Street banks, where they derive a lot of their money from, say, mergers and acquisitions, right? The deal-making activity or from trading. They make markets in stocks and bonds. A little bit light with some of those, but when it came to more of the Main Street banks, the ones who their bread and butter is taking deposits, making loans, those numbers to me looked pretty solid. So despite some of the concerns out there around stretched balance sheets and budgets for consumers and small businesses, it does seem like actually we're not in that bad of a shape right now.
So I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Your favorite CEO, Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan, their CFO, said that they're firing on all strategies. And then he followed that up that said it's a complex set of risks.
It really is. And I like the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer's statement, because that is really what's going on in the business. The CEO, very important role, but he is also a figurehead. He says a lot of things, and I think he tries to almost talk about more of the risks as opposed to the opportunities. Maybe that's part of his personality, part of the way in which he tries to manage the expectations, but he has talked about how consumers have been resilient, but let's not downplay too many of the risks. We don't want to, though, upplay all of those risks.
Exactly,
and
right.
I think that's the danger, is that when you come up with these different scenarios about what could happen, right? There's some base case, there's a bullish case, there's a bearish case. We always have to assign what's the probability of those actually playing out. And so sometimes the ones who go on the news, they talk about either the bear case or the bull case without talking about, well, what's the probability associated with each of those?
And the last piece we got to get to is Kevin Warsh, and that's coming up quick.
Oh, yes. Who knows as far as what that hearing is going to look like or if it's going to get punted again. But the Senate Banking Committee has said that they want to schedule that because Chair Powell, his term as chair, is up in May, and May is just right around the corner here.
So what we have is our market review that we generally do on a weekly basis. Really didn't talk about the continuum of outcomes of Iran, but it is pretty fluid. We also talked about earnings season and finally the Federal Reserve. And we did that, folks, all in 5 minutes.
You just heard the latest updates, but how does that affect your investments right now? Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com, especially if recent headlines are giving you some uncertainty. Do you own something you don't need? Are you curious if the latest news could delay retirement? It's a whole team in-house who has your best interest in mind on your side. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom-tailored investment and retirement planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Well, special guest in the studio, John Choate, is a veteran Navy SEAL officer, accomplished executive, and entrepreneur based in Charlotte, North Carolina. He is the founder of Apogee Travel. This is a transparent travel booking platform that lets users book the same hotels at the same prices while supporting veteran causes and charities like St. Jude. He's bringing battle-tested leadership, discipline, and a mission-driven mindset to building businesses that create real impact beyond profit. He's seen a lot. He's a good friend of our CEO of Annex Wealth Management, Dave Spano.
All right, thanks, Joe. And joining us now, John Choate, veteran Navy SEAL officer. Thanks for joining us, John.
Appreciate it. Thank you for letting me be here.
Yeah, you know, last time we were together was right at the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and you and I had a spirited conversation on where this thing could go, and here we are coming up on 3 years now, John, and it's interesting on what a potential resolution can be, and the Russians seem like they're on their heels a little bit.
I would agree with you. Dynamic environment. I am by no stretch of the imagination, like the subject matter expert on this. I would say that you look at the other signals associated with it, right? I mean, Russia turns off all of its internet under the guise of this just being, oh, it's just yet another change, which I find a little bit suspect right there. You have $1.3 billion order for new interceptors that are coming in that Ukraine placed with both the German and United Kingdom ministries of defense. I mean, these are not measures that you take because Russia is winning by any way, shape, or form.
And we will get to Iran after this, but there's some things that they're totally different wars, that there's totally different defenses. And so if you compare, and again, we'll come back to Iran, if you compare what's happening there, the difference, how we're handling it, it's totally different. And I say we, because we're not really involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, one is ours and one is not, right? And so boots on the ground is probably the biggest difference, correct?
If we go back to kind of the broader issue as it relates to Ukraine, I think what many people miss is this broader aspect, which is that when the Soviet Union fell in Christmas 1991,
yep.
In theory, the Soviet Union was not in existence any longer, but the United States, the West's mindset really didn't shift that much. We were still so attuned to this polarized Cold War mentality. We prepped for it. We didn't trim our sails accordingly to the point where 7 days before Russia invaded Ukraine, what did our intelligence assets say was going to materialize? That they were going to run roughshod over Ukraine, it was going to be done within a week, et cetera, et cetera. That's not because our intelligence assets are dolts or anything, but there is certainly a modicum associated with that. They were predicating their analysis on Cold War mentalities.
Right.
What proved, since Russia invaded Ukraine, is that they are really constructively nothing more than a second-ish, maybe even third-world-ish country in many respects. They do not have the infrastructure. They cannot contend with this. They can't even take over 200 kilometers of land from what is a de facto third-world country. It is always easier to be on defense than offense, but they are still in this slog. It does not bode well, does not look well for them. As it relates to the United States, I believe that this is a necessary engagement to support, but to do from the distance that we're at. Russia is not a threat to us. And when you remove this, they're not next door to us. This is the responsibility of the Europeans, if they are so inclined, to take care of their own security.
You know, I was going to ask you about modern warfare and drones and cyber operations, all those things, but you bring up a really good point. Let's talk about NATO. I mean, this is a fluid situation. We'll see where the Europeans are. They're talking about what they're going to need to do if Trump is serious.
Sure. They are. I mean, look, people forget, unless you're a history major or something along that set. I mean, the European continent was decimated post-World War II. Forget about the sheer carnage that ensued. I mean, you know, 13 million Russians were killed. You know, we lost over 500,000. But I mean, in relative and absolute terms, it was absolute destruction. The United States resulted from World War II as not unscathed, but also in relative terms, definitely at kind of the apex of that pyramid point right there. And it was naturally then kind of put across our lap, hey, well, can you take care of this? You know, can you establish this? Can you be the big brother in the room? And we've done that, now done it for decades upon decades. But, you know, it is not our job. It is a job for collective security to provide partners and allies with support. But at no point in time should I be paying the mortgage for your house that I don't live in and I don't use.
Right.
Even though you've asked that several times, David.
I know. Well, yeah. First of all, thank you for coming in from Charlotte. We're talking to John Choate, veteran Navy SEAL officer, accomplished executive, but there's so much to talk about, and we're going to continue that conversation right after this.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, welcome back to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Special guest, John Choate, former Navy SEAL, current entrepreneur, along with our CEO, Dave Spano, and wealth manager, Kent Helene.
Folks, there's a lot to talk about, and the Iran-focused questions right now is probably top of mind for everybody.
John, Kent, looking at your ideas around Iran and where this is going to end up, how long this is going to last, and I also want to hear your thoughts with your military background on just how impressive so far the military actions have been over there, how efficient, and also that extraction that we did of those two pilots.
It will make a great story. It is a great story. But if everybody just pauses for 15 seconds and try to imagine what it would be like to be by yourself behind enemy lines being hunted by the IRGC. I'm being choreographed. It's a heck of a thing.
You went through SEERS training, correct?
I did, yes. Did you as well?
I did not, know, but yeah, I can imagine you mentally processing what that would be like for him and all of a sudden realizing, hey, we went to SEER training for something.
It's survival, evasion, resistance, escape. This will sound a little bit cutesy. You go through it after you finish BUDS training, like SEAL training, mm-hmm. and a bunch of young SEALs that just got through BUDS and they kind of think they got it all figured
out. Top of the world, invincible.
And you don't. Yeah. You don't know. Know it, right? Don't know what it is, but they have, you know, a makeshift prisoner of war camp right there. It's actually, when I was there, one of the instructors that was running it was actually a POW in the Hanoi Hilton during the Vietnam War.
Wow.
So being able to get his directions was pretty surreal. Filled with a lot of pilots, understandably so, and definitely funny stories that come out of SEER training.
Give us one that you can tell over
Okay. So you have to imagine if you've got four or five SEALs per class, and then I would say the balance of probably 30 or so or mostly pilots or air crew. They go through this mock-up phase. You're trying to run away first, and you know they kind of say, go, and SEALs are gone. They're like, I am creating gray space between where you said go and I'm out of here. And you got pilots that are like, and then they actually have to call you back.
Yeah, don't send the emails to me.
Yeah, they have to call you back and be like, okay, everybody needs to come back and do the prisoner of war camp to go through the next training evolution. And SEALs don't want to play by that.
So the guy's there by himself in a country where there's thousands of soldiers trying to kill you.
Exactly. This is testament to the training that they've gone through, to the commitment of like bringing folks back. I mean, it is unparalleled.
So they get in there, they get them, they pull them out, said, hey, take a look at this. This is how deep we can get into your country.
Yeah, not only that, but prior to, right, they'd already put out several messages that he'd already been recovered, mm-hmm. that he was already back home. Now you're just throwing white noise out there into the atmosphere. Brilliantly choreographed, and for the operators that went in to get them, It's all tier one guys. Air Force, special operators, combat controllers, and PJs are bar none like the finest when it comes to those iterations.
Let's go back to what's at hand in 82nd Airborne's on the way. Let's see what happens next.
I'm not sure that parachuting into Karg Island is something that I would be like super psyched myself. But
and then they're going to have to try to find out where those mines are. That is really going to be interesting.
It is. Now I'm dating myself back decades ago. Like, you still had sheriffs and other entities that can find mines. You have VSW MCM, very shallow water mine countermeasures, which are the dolphins. You know, that they're like, hey, found a mine here, and then it, you know, tags it. There's nothing, no harm to the dolphin, that everybody understands that. But plus all of the underwater drones that you have and the capabilities now to go through this. The Straits of Hormuz, I mean, it is one of the 17 key choke points in the world. Keeping that thing open and moving is of critical concern. How much news are you hearing nowadays about the barrage of Iranian drone attacks that are taking place?
Yeah, well, they've been damaged, no question about it.
Yeah.
Well, John, looking into the future and kind of a key takeaway, let's tie it somewhat back to, call it, markets or investing and what we do at NX. What is something that's currently driving the markets? Obviously, oil and where Iran is and what they're producing. Is this closing in the next 2 weeks? Is this closing in the next 6 weeks?
If I knew the answer to that one.
You don't, but I'm curious to get your take on it, obviously, with your military experience.
I think that it's important that folks understand this too. And I don't have any inside knowledge, but I have the experiential components, all right? Whether somebody likes who the current president is or absolutely despises or loathes, there is no unilateral ability to just kind of wage this, despite what many people say. I would also bet the barn that Iran was much closer to being able to establish an actual nuclear weapon. And it doesn't matter whether you're in business. When you're talking about a negotiation, right, you have what your anchor point is and you never move from it. The United States' anchor point was, we will give any concessions, but you cannot have the infrastructure or the capability to produce weaponized uranium or any type of nuclear weapon derivative. For the Iranians, that was their anchor point, that they were willing to negotiate anything but not relinquish that. What does it look like as far as markets and everything else? Now I'm way out of my realm on this. I would say this, though. Markets will always find a way. What they just don't like is they just don't like not having an idea. And it could be the best of times or worst of times. It's the uncertainty. It's just not knowing. But I would just end with a rhetorical question. Do you really think that oil is going to stay at $95 and above forever from here on out? The answer is absolutely not. It's not going to. This was a correct thing to do, a right thing. It may not have been the most elegant way to go about doing it, but it was going to happen one way or another at some point in time.
Thank you very much, John Choate, for being here and, of course, for your service. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. We do have an Ask Annex button at annexwealth.com. We love answering your questions, maybe in person, maybe over email, maybe on the radio show. Paul wants to know, taxes are done. He's 51. What should I look at in the next few months? And somebody who keeps track of that, Dr. Brian Jacobson, our chief economic strategist. What should Paul be looking at right now? Now that the taxes are done, maybe the next few months before it starts to get busy in fall.
Yeah, before you file those taxes away and assume that you're done, this is actually a great planning opportunity. Maybe come in and we can take a look at it together, look at it line by line and try to figure out, is there a way in which you can have a plan, not just for the next tax season, which is next year, but even subsequent ones. Plenty of things that you can do. Some of the things that I would really highlight, look at, did you get a refund or not? Did you have to pay in? Did you have to pay a penalty? Is there a way to maybe avoid the penalties? Is there a way in which maybe you don't get as big of a refund back? Because while it might feel good to get those refunds, remember, you are then giving the government an interest-free loan. So I would say, take a look. Did you pay too much? Because now you have a penalty. Did you get too much back? Where you can moderate that, maybe adjust your withholdings. That'd be one thing. Another is take a look at as far as how much did you contribute to your retirement plans? How much did you contribute to your 401k if that's available to you? Did you optimize it for taking advantage of the employer match? So those are just a few things that I take a look at, but there are plenty of details that we can get into if you come in.
And if you do come in and you do contact us for the first time and you've never had a planner before, what kind of things can you weed out almost immediately? I mean, chances are we're going to get things cleaned up.
Yeah, I think that when you come in and take a look at it, the things as far as like the low hanging fruit, it is about, okay, what are your sources of income? Are you doing that strategically? If you think about, okay, some of the income, if you're taking distributions from an IRA or a 401k, are you really doing that in a tax smart way where you're aware of where those different brackets are? If you're in retirement, you also have to be concerned about certain areas like, let's say, IRMA, which affects your Medicare premium that you might pay. So we want to be very aware of that. The types of income. Are you then getting into the asset location decision? So with some of the income, you're getting a bunch of like those 1099s, right? 1099 INT, that's the interest that you're getting. Well, is that from different bonds where maybe is it a bond that is better held in a 401k or IRA as opposed to a taxable account? So the nature of the income that your investments are kicking off. So those are just some of the kind of like low hanging fruit, right? Come in, what are the sources of income? That's kind of the big thing is there a way for us to optimize that as far as the amount that you're taking to do it where maybe you're leaving some money on the table for Roth conversions, right? If you have enough headroom in the bracket that you're in to take advantage of, maybe you could take a little bit more and convert it into a Roth IRA as opposed to a traditional. So those are just some of the kind of, I think, the nuts and bolts that we would look at.
Clear numbers, mock projections, and some opportunities maybe you weren't aware of. And by the way, our new Women in Wealth page is up at annexwealth.com. Women in Wealth podcast, special guests and strategies to empower women and gain greater confidence. So that is a very popular section right now. A lot of people downloading that podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We've had in-person events recently, education, resources, so check the events page as well at annexwealth.com. One of the things that we like to talk about as well is preserving legacy, living legacy, or just having a plan when it comes to that. Passion, assets, and legacy, the items that tell your story and how to protect them. The one thing that's real nice, Brian, about Annex is that everything happens under one roof. So we were talking about tax strategies, we were talking about financial planning, watching what the market is doing, but also having protection for your portfolio, things that matter to you most.
Yeah, well, and that's why we provide comprehensive wealth management. It's that holistic view. So having that all done under one roof, I think can help set people up for more success than if they try to do it more piecemeal.
Brookfield, our headquarters, passion, assets, and legacy, like Brian and I were just talking about, preserving the stories behind your treasures. That is April 21st, coming up here in a few days, 6 to 8 p.m., the items that tell your story and how to protect them. Family jewelry, the wine or sports card collection, everything from art heirlooms, just regular heirlooms, even pets. Click events at annexwealth.com. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Well, as you plan ahead, because we always talk about plans here at Annex, there are some key retirement milestones that can significantly boost savings or maybe reduce some taxes. So let's break down how these ages can turn into opportunities and help your path to include maybe some confidence and clarity. And to help us do it, Senior Wealth Manager at Annex, Mary Lou Davido is here. Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi, Joe.
So let's start with the big picture. Lots of ages to keep track of. Why do you think it's so important for people to understand the different stages of retirement planning, maybe rather than waiting until they're actually closer to retiring?
Because knowledge is power. The more that you know, the better decisions you can make. You can plan for the future or for the current. So I think knowledge is really important. Retirement can happen at any age, and there's different things that happen at different ages. Some planning that you want to do for retirement, even though that might be 30 years down the road, might take many, many years to implement. And so if we wait too long and we get too close to retirement, we might have lost a window to implement a strategy. One example would be a Roth IRA. The younger you are, young people that are coming out of school aren't thinking about retirement 30 years down the road. But we know how beneficial a Roth IRA can be, especially when you're a young individual starting out and your tax rate is so low. Then that Roth IRA gets in at a very low tax rate and it's growing tax-free. If we were to talk about that strategy when you're 55, because you're planning to retire at 60, it's just not as great of an answer as if you started when you're 35 or even 30 years old and you start that Roth IRA. So some of these strategies to really help you many years down the road take a long time to implement. So understanding the different stages, understanding different strategies that exist, where you want to be at in the end, just helps you make better decisions earlier in life.
And you want to have that balance too, because you want to enjoy what you're earning. Plans change, life happens, you want to buy a house, you want to get married, things change within your family. What about flexibility when you're trying to keep to that plan and those milestones?
You stole my phrase. That's what I always say. Life happens, you can't stop it. And so you have to be willing to adapt to whatever happens during life. But if I can quote Yogi Berra, he said, if you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up someplace else. If we can pull that into the financial planning world, if we don't have a very clear vision of what we want in the future, and we don't have a very clear plan on how to get there, then whenever life happens and we have to adapt, we don't know what changes we can make that are still on the right track for the future. Then we can make changes or adapt in a way and be flexible. We'll know what plan B, plan C, plan D is that still keeps us on our end goal and we don't get off track.
Sticking to that plan and not trying to catch up and cram it all in towards the end of maybe your career. How can the balance help us enjoy life now with the need to prepare for these future benchmarks?
Yeah, some things I always say too is you're living your best life now at the expense of your best life later. Whenever people think about retirement, that's the end all, right? Like that is where people want to go. That's the best life you're going to live. But we have to be honest with ourselves and we have to understand that when we're in retirement, we do want that to be our best life. We don't want to go backwards. And knowing that and being honest about that means that when we sit down to the financial plan and we think about what retirement looks like, then we, again, have a very clear vision of what retirement needs to be. And that helps us figure out, okay, then what do we need to do to sustain that lifestyle that you've had for 20, 30, 40 years in retirement, depending on when you decide to retire. That's a long time of life without any income coming in.
And everybody's got a birthday, but what birthdays and ages are we keeping track of? Because somebody might be listening thinking, hey, I'm ready for the clear plan or I have a clear plan. What do I need to have in my head as far as those specific birthdays and how they can be beneficial and maybe create some opportunities for my portfolio?
There's many of them. You ready?
Okay. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, let's run down the ages.
We've got lots of them. 50 is a big one. 55, 59 and a half, 60, 62, 65, 70, 70 and a half, 73, 75. We've got strategies, tax planning, retirement planning, Social Security. We've got things that are coming into play at each of those ages. So, I mean, that's a 25-year time period from 50 to 75. So it's a very long time period that we're looking at planning. And again, we don't want to wait until 49 to start planning for those 25 years. We should probably start 25 years early to plan for those 25 years that are coming.
And we don't want somebody to just think, I'm out of luck, it's too late. Is it too late?
It's never too late. Starting early is obviously a great thing. So no matter what age you are, don't miss out on any future opportunities because you just didn't want to ask the question or thought it was too late. The world of AI, we feel that we can do so much. We can ask the questions. We can get the answers very quick. But really working with a certified financial planner, which we have here at Annex, working with tax planners, CPAs, which we have here at Annex, really looking at a holistic plan. Professionals can be those experts and you can lean on them. Tell me what I don't know, because we're constantly keeping up with all the tax laws and all of that stuff. So keep it simple, find a professional. Start early, ask questions, establish your baseline, and move forward.
Start early and never too late.
Never too late.
Thank you. Mary Lou Davido, Senior Wealth Manager at Annex. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Joe.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk. The Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Glad you found us. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. This is a podcast on demand. I've had people say they listen to it while driving. Thank you for doing that. Maybe walking the dog. Thank you for downloading and clicking the subscribe button. Where do you find the podcast? Just Google Annex Money Talk, the Axiom. That is our newsletter. You can connect with us that way as well with our week in review video from this show in your email on Sunday morning. Search Annex Axiom. That's an easy way to be reminded about our weekly content, things we're watching. The other podcasts too, like The Wealthiest, Ideas, Strategies, Decisions of the Wealthy in America. The SWOT podcast as well, every Monday morning. Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats. And the new Women in Wealth podcast featuring special guests helping to empower women of all ages through genuine conversations. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. You know, we started the show saying that it just took 11 days for the S&P 500 to return to highs, bouncing off 50,000 on the Dow Jones, Brian. And that's one of the best recoveries in some 75 years. And so it really caused us, you and I, and the rest of the investment committee to have a conversation about portfolio protection. And there's a whole continuum of how to do that. So let's just start on stage one. We're going to move through this quickly. But stage one really is asset allocation, is probably the premier asset allocation defender.
It is. And it works over time, right? Asset allocation just refers to don't put all of your eggs in one basket. You probably want to have some stocks and some bonds. And even within each one of those broad buckets, there's a great diversity of what you can invest in. And so the idea is that you can help manage risk over time, improve what we refer to as those risk adjusted returns in order to hopefully get more consistent outcomes over time.
And that's really step number one. Step number two, as you like to say, beta. And yep. I think you should probably explain what that means in a portfolio and why and how you would use it to play defense.
That's right. So beta is a Greek term. It's a Greek letter. And you know that economics and finance people, we always like to use a lot of math. And so using different variables, it just refers to what is the sensitivity of a stock or a sector or industry to broad market movements. So just as an example, if like the broad market goes up by one percentage point, if you go up one percentage point with your investment, that's a beta of one. If you only go up half a percentage point, that's a beta of one half. And so those are ways in which you can diversify and use different techniques to maybe adjust the beta of the portfolio. So it keeps you in the market, but maybe it helps kind of smooth out the edges. It works both ways, though. You miss out on the downside somewhat, but you also then miss out on the upside as well. But maybe you can use some dynamic beta, adjust it over time.
So some of the things that you would do in a portfolio, if you're listening to this, is like more stabilizing assets, cash and gold and fixed income. That's one of the ways to do that. Yeah. And that ties in really back to the asset allocation. Third would be an opportunity to rebalance. So when you start to see these moves that have adjusted your asset allocation, you rebalance back to where you are.
That's right. And rebalancing is something that some people do it only like once a year, maybe once a quarter. If you're in a 401k plan, you can oftentimes have it set up, specify when do you want it rebalanced back to your targets. We tend to take more of the approach about trying to do it more opportunistically, where if you have one part that has rallied really hard for a while, maybe it's outgrown where you want it to be in the portfolio, and it's an opportunity to just kind of trim it back to something more in line with your strategic allocation.
You know, one of the other strategies that folks have employed in the past is option-based hedging. You know, we call it protective puts, right?
Sure.
And there are certainly pros and cons to this, folks.
Oh, absolutely. It's just like with any tool, right? I mean, it can be used for good. It can be used for evil as well. Options have a very long history to them. You can think of them as being a form of insurance. I mean, that's really the origins of them, which is it gives you the option, the right to buy or sell a stock or a security at a pre-specified price called the strike price before or on a specified date. Okay. And so it can actually be a useful tool if you want to limit the downside move, but you have to pay for it, just like any insurance policy. And the way that I think about option strategies, you can use them for protection purposes. You can use them to generate additional income, but also you can use it for speculation. I think the things that get really shown in the media a lot of times when they talk about options are more of the speculative reasons for them. We like to think of them as a tool to try to achieve certain outcomes. And sometimes that outcome is to try to protect the downside, but you do pay for that just like you do with any insurance policy.
And all of the things that we've talked about so far are tools and strategies, but probably the biggest determinant of portfolio management is behavior.
Mm.
There are folks who go through downsides and then they say, well, I want to protect my downside and go to cash. And they're trying to time the markets, which means that you have to be right twice, when to get out and when to get back in. But behavioral protection is something we coach on a daily basis.
It is. And it is, I believe, the number one reason why investors miss out on big rallies in the markets. They tend to behaviorally sell at the bottom and buy at the top. And a lot of data supports that. Morningstar, one of the data providers that we partner with, they have done some studies about how you have different fund flows. You can measure it as to how did, say, the S&P 500 do over the last 50 years. But then you can look at individuals when they were investing, money going in and money coming out. And oftentimes people miss out on those returns that you see in the markets based on their behaviors. Just the fact that they tend to get scared when everybody else is scared. And if everybody else is scared, well, guess what? Maybe the market has already priced in whatever is scaring you.
And so, of course, Buffett famously said, when people are fearful, be greedy. And when they're greedy, be fearful. What our sophisticated investors generally do is layer all of these strategies, and we try to help them through them using tactical asset allocation, using risk management tools, behavior, and coaching. And we layer all of these together, Brian.
Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show podcast, is ready right now on the radio station website, or you can just search Annex Money Talk. For Dave Spano and Dr. Brian Jacobson, I'm Joe Krause. Have a great week. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.